Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, the racial graduation gap is shrinking. We'll talk with the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Education to break down the numbers. 143 days, still no confirmation vote for Loretta Lynch for Attorney General. It's time to take action. We'll tell you how. Also, TSA backs off searching black women's natural hair. Seriously? What the hell? Pat downs on the head? New streaming video apps, Meerkat, Periscope, which one is best for you? And how is this going to change your life? Also, Michelle Williams, Kelly Rowland, and Beyonce get together at this year's Stellar Awards, plus a sneak peek of our Black is Special airing Friday right here on TV One. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now. Let's go. Days since Loretta Lynch was nominated for Attorney General to replace Attorney General Eric Holder, yet still there's been no vote. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he now claims there's going to be a vote for Lynch after the Easter break. Senators and members of Congress, they have gone home. They come back April 13th. But seriously, he also previously told us there was going to be a vote, which was a lie, and then that all of a sudden changed. And so what should happen next? Let's go right to my panel and break this thing down. Joining me on the set, we have Lauren Victoria Burke, Politic365.com. So, Lauren, we certainly appreciate you being here. We also have, of course, Avis Jones-DeWeaver. Avis, of course, you see her out there doing her things. Plus, Joe Jones, founder and CEO of the Center for Urban Families. Avis, of course, is president and CEO of Insight Unlimited. Here's the deal here. You saw a group of black women last week, of course, protested outside of Mitch McConnell's office. There should be constant action. Senators are at home. Next week should really be a week of action targeting Republican leadership, finding out where they're going to be giving speeches. Are they going to have town halls using flash mobs to send the word out? Fine. Meet us here at 10 a.m. And then all of a sudden, and tell literally women's groups, sororities, civil rights groups, faith people as well, we want to pack folks there to let them know that it's time for them to get to work.
Exactly right. There should be some coalition building with obviously all the women's groups, obviously Emily's list, the usual suspects now. And also that Tea Party strategy of embarrassing people at their public events during a 2-week break is obviously
strategy the black folks used, so they actually took it from us. So it's not like it's a new idea.
Right, none of these things are really new ideas. As we see in the Indiana situation right now, the gay lobby is using the economic power. Then they have just well-placed people who agree with their position. So, you know, just like with Stand Your Ground, we had that sort of conversation about boycotting Florida that sort of went away. With Loretta Lynch, we should get just as serious in terms of pressuring specific people in power. And obviously we haven't done that yet, but I do think we'll probably see some of that hopefully next week.
And again, here's what you have. Obviously Delta Sigma Theta, her sorority, they've been very vocal.
Right.
But again, you have chapters all across the country, graduate chapters and undergraduate chapters, and so then call upon other sorority sisters, those same women's groups. And to me, again, you treat next week, that way you can plan it, you use social media, you use traditional media to drive the narrative, because this needs to be dealt with. And here's the deal. Unless you have public pressure, they are not going to schedule the vote.
And you have to have specific people.
Absolutely. I mean, last week, for example, the Black Women's Roundtable organized a wide range of women to go to Mitch McConnell's office and say, what is up? And what they were met with were Capitol Police, who surrounded them and attempted to intimidate them.
Well, actually, McConnell's office pressured the police to almost arrest them. So
yeah,
the police were kind of in a situation where they had McConnell's office bothering them. But you're right.
Fine, because here's the deal, though. Dr. King always talked about it. I don't care in what situation you want there to be an adversary. You want there to be a protagonist and an antagonist.
Exactly. Right. So we weren't intimidated by that. Not intimidated by those actions. In fact, we're going to ramp it up. And so exactly what you're talking about is what's being organized mobilize now in terms of actions at people's homes to let them know that when you go back, you're not going to get some solace just because you're not in the Capitol anymore. We're going to make sure that you hear us where you are, and then when you come back, we're going to be back again, because this isn't over by any stretch of the imagination.
But Joe, one of the things I think needs to happen is, if you talk about coming back, what needs to happen is there needs to be a particular day. And so I think, for instance, women's groups should say, fine, our day is going to be Tuesday. Right. Faith folks might say our day is going to be Wednesday. Civil rights organizations say our day is going to be Thursday. That way, it's not a one-day thing. Mm-hmm. It's in the signal is sent. We're going to be back here next Tuesday and next Wednesday and next Thursday. To me, you do that. Now, all of a sudden, you're able to drive a media narrative. You got people now circulating stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. You got videos, live videos. You got vines. You got photos. That's what drives this narrative.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in terms of a campaign. Even if you look at the issues that emerged in Ferguson, and you saw the nation galvanize around that particular issue, you had people coming from across the country. You had young prosecutors, African-American prosecutors, who organized their colleagues from colleges and universities to go to Ferguson to create days of protest and to help people organize. I think until we kind of figure out how we develop a real clear communication strategy that drills down to the grassroots and help people to continue to understand this issue, because without having somebody confirm, you got Eric Holder, you know, who's done a tremendous job sitting on the limb, you know, ready to exit, and you've got Loretta Lynch ready to come in and, you know, pick up the mantle and move forward. Well, and we've got inactivity.
You also need to be focused, though, on specific senators like Mark Kirk, who is going to have a tight reelection, as somebody to focus on.
Yeah, but I think first, who's in leadership? Who's in the leadership?
Obviously McConnell and the gang, but we don't know. McConnell hasn't said how he's going to vote, which
right,
is a strange
right.
thing, too.
But here's what I'm thinking. Again, you talk about...
But he's trying to placate the Tea Party in the Senate.
So right, I got it. But I'm saying if you target strategy, here's why for me, I don't make it my motive in terms of the senators who are in trouble. Because first of all, it's 2015.
Well, she needs two votes, though.
No.
It gets down to that 49 has to become 50.
Right, but but before you get to the vote, it has to be scheduled.
Absolutely.
And my deal is, you need to target the Republican leadership.
Absolutely.
The initial pressure needs to be schedule the vote.
Right, absolutely.
And then once you get scheduled the vote, then it's now we're going to target folks when it comes to voting. Mm-hmm. But until that vote is scheduled, it's irrelevant.
That pressure has to come, though, in the form of something like money or votes. Of course, McConnell could care about neither because he just won re-election. So it gets really difficult. He can kind of say, I don't care, I can just ignore you. And that's basically what he's doing.
Here's the deal. He can do that, except if they show up at every speech he gives. Mm-hmm. Except when he's having a town hall. Except when he's going to church on Sunday. No, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So the deal is, so it has to be Senator McConnell, until you schedule a vote, wherever you go, we go.
Right, yeah.
We're going to follow you all around, and we're going to target leadership, because at some point, you're going to say, man, I'm tired of these folks outside my door, outside my house, at my church. That's what you have to do.
That's what they did with the FCC chairman over net neutrality.
So
they went to his house. And that visual alone.
This is simple.
Power.
Schedule a vote.
Right. And you know, the sad thing is, from our intelligence, is Loretta Lynch is losing votes every day. The longer that this is drawn out, her support is going down and down and down. This is not a winning proposition to stretch it out like this by any stretch of the imagination.
And that's why the public pressure has to be there, because it also remains top of mind. Here's the deal. As long as people are forgetting that this nomination is out there, it's dead in the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the pressure has to be there. It has to be this constant, constant pressure. And then when you call out those women's groups, then you also go call Concerned Women for America. Say, I'm sorry, isn't your name Concerned Women for America?
Right. Hello.
How are you opposing this woman?
And Hillary Clinton. There's a lot of people who should
absolutely
actually be speaking up.
Hold tight 1 second. We come back, folks. 16 states have more prisoners than college students. Also, we'll talk about the issue of streaming video. We've got two new apps that are blowing up all over the place, Meerkat and Periscope. Tech guru Stephanie Humphrey is here to break it down for you. Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at News One or at Roland S. Martin. Go to our News One Facebook page. It is 8 after the hour. News One now on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Folks, welcome back to News One Now. Shelly, get a shot of Avis's hair. All right, so give me a tight shot, Christian. Give me a tight shot. Come on, zoom in. Hurry up. Fast zoom. That's Joe. Hey. Yeah, I don't want Joe's hair. He don't have any hair. Seriously, my Lord. All right, so here's the deal, folks. If you go back to the shot of Avis's hair. So, okay, seriously. Okay, I need a single shot of Avis's hair, not a three shot. Thank you. Now, you look at Avis's hair, folks. When Avis goes through TSA, sisters just like her, they have been getting patted down, had their hair patted down by TSA for years. Unnecessary searches. Well, now all of a sudden, TSA, they have agreed to stop the extra security screenings after meeting with the American Civil Liberties Union. This has been crazy. I mean, sisters have been saying, wait a minute, why are you patting me down? Because I got locks.
Yeah, it happens all the time, honestly. It happens to me more often than it doesn't happen. I would say 3 out of the 4 times that I fly.
But this was crazy. Why pat you down with locks? I mean, hell, you ain't patting down bad weaves.
Yeah, well.
I mean, if you want to hide some stuff, you could, one of them big flowing weaves, or folks coming up with them big old wigs, you ain't sitting there going, is that yours?
Well,
is that yours?
True. And what I don't get is, I mean, you're in one of these full body scans, right? They can see right through apparently everything I'm wearing, but you can't see through my hair. It doesn't make any sense.
So how many times has it happened to you?
Honestly. Almost every time I fly, they will either have my hair, they'll act like they can't see what's in my on my back because of my hair, so they'll either pat it, my hair, to my back, or they will literally run their fingers through my hair.
Now, John, I know you don't have any hair, but seriously, this is sort of a crazy thing, and look, the only reason TSA is stopping it because sisters were protesting, and ACLU threatened to sue them.
Sounds like a move a young brother would pull back in high school back in the day just to get to a sister, right? But realistically, man, I don't think you can hold the agents themselves accountable for the action. I think what's going on behind the scenes, there's policy that drives what the agents do, right? And they're being held accountable for certain security measures that they, you know, that they undertake. And so when you peel back the layers, what is written, what is directed to them to tell them to do that so that when Avis or any other sister of color goes through a scanner, they also had to pat them down and discriminate them because they happen to have a certain hairstyle. I think it's much more than the agents. You go back to written policy somewhere or unwritten that really drives that behavior.
Okay. Lauren, this is some bull!
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's kind of reminiscent of what happened with the U.S. Navy in August of 2014 when they changed the policy on hairstyles, thanks to Marsha Fudge and a group of black women in the Congressional Black Caucus. But what really it boils down to is it shows you who makes the rules, and those people who make the rules do not typically wear cornrows that come down, you know, their back and curls and weaves and the whole bit. So the people who make the rules are not really sensitive to these particular or familiar with these particular hairstyles. So, I mean, it's really a reflection of who is making the rules and having to really assert ourselves on that issue.
Let's go to our next topic. A new study shows 16 states have more people in prison than in college. Is it a coincidence that the majority of those states are in the South and most of the inmates are black?
Well, Alabama has an extremely high rate of incarceration. I think Alabama and Mississippi are the two. Alabama and Louisiana, I think, have the two highest rates of incarceration in the country. And, you know, we know that there's disproportion with regards to the statistics with African Americans and over-incarceration. The thing is, if you put that money into education, you would actually stop the incarceration because it would be a preventative economic measure.
But they don't want that. I mean, let's just be very, very frank about this. Black bodies are still a commodity in this country. It is a driving force for employment for a lot of people who are not qualified, quite frankly, to do anything else.
But you know what, though? Here's the deal. I'm going to expand that. First of all, I'm looking up right now what that cost is in Alabama of incarcerating. But the thing that also trips me out is that it's not as black now, because in Jarecki's movie, The House I Live In, The House We Live In, the number of white inmates in the issue of meth, West Virginia and Tennessee and Georgia, and so it's black inmates, but also it's literally an attack on the poor. And what's crazy is when you look at the amount of money, you're absolutely right. Alabama spends $26 a day incarcerating a prisoner. The national average is $62, but still, California drops $49,000 per year.
Wow.
To house one inmate in a state prison.
Right.
Yeah, but if you think
49,000 a year.
That's more than median income, honestly.
Yeah. Right.
That's a lot of
you
money.
Could spend
yes.
On kids.
But that's big business, right?
Mm-hmm.
privatizing prison management is big business, mm-hmm. right? These private industries contract with governments. They put quotas in place in their contracts to say that the states have to maintain a certain level of beds, right? Occupied beds in order to fulfill those contracts. So if a state doesn't have X number of inmates in a cell, the state then has to pay a fee to the contractor who's monitoring, who is managing the prison. You know, that is unconscionable. But I don't think most of us understand how the prison industry works.
This was 5 years ago in Alabama. The prison budget was $445 million. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Average annual cost per inmate, $17,285. Yep. And again, you would think that fiscal conservatives, and again, the point I make, this is not about liberal or conservative, mm-hmm. because the other issue is this here. You had the bipartisan summit last week on criminal justice reform. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of top conservatives mm-hmm. who are saying, you know what, this is nonsense. Mm-hmm. This makes no sense whatsoever. And so I don't mind the fiscal conservative argument, but a fiscal conservative should be saying, this is crazy yeah. that we're spending this amount of money incarcerating folks, many of them nonviolent offenders, mm-hmm. right. when you're absolutely right. If you're saying, you know what, instead of putting you in prison, we're gonna put you on probation, or we're gonna have you on parole. And the amount of money we allocate for a prison, you're gonna be mandated to go to technical training or whatever the heck it is.
Right.
And if you skip out on that, we'll throw you back in jail.
Well, a lot of conservatives are saying just that. You're seeing Rand Paul work with a lot of liberals on the yep.
right.
side of the aisle on this issue because they're running out of money now incarcerating people. Also, we live in an era right now where the crime rate is in 1960s levels.
Right.
So at some point, that money will run out because they're not incarcerating as many people.
Yeah.
But it's just not cost effective. All that money could go to Head Start. It could go to preventative, Boys and Girls Clubs. Mm-hmm. It could go to things that are preventative.
And what's amazing, Alabama's actually 48th out of 50 states when it comes to cost per prison.
Right.
I mean,
and,
so,
it's, and it's one
but still, I mean.
And Alabama's the poorest state in the United States.
There you
so
go.
It's like their economics don't work. And by the way, Republicans control Alabama. So when people say that Democrats are responsible for poverty policy, it's always sort of amusing to me. Number two is Louisiana. And I think number three is Mississippi.
Well, actually, the lowest in America is Kentucky. Indiana is the second
Kentucky.
Lowest.
Mitch McConnell.
Alabama is the, in terms of
yeah.
the amount spent per prisoner.
Right.
But still,
right.
I mean, if you're still spending $15,000-$16,000 per prisoner,
right.
at the end of the day, those are people who could actually be taxpayers, could actually be involved in
right.
education as well.
And
right.
it's probably a reflection of the conditions in those prisons.
Gotcha.
So
all
I'm
right.
expecting it to be very bad.
Well, appreciate it. Thanks a bunch, folks. Deputy Secretary of Education John King is here. Speaking of education, we're going to talk about the rising graduation rates for Black and Latino students and what more can be done. Also, tech guru Stephanie Humphrey is here to tell you if streaming video apps are enough to turn you into a citizen journalist, or these people who literally are live streaming them making some soup. What the hell is wrong with some of these people? Plus, a sneak peek of our Blackest special airing on TV One on Friday. It's 21. After the hour, News One Now on TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
Education has always been viewed as a way to get a leg up in our society, but for decades, the high school graduation rate for Black and Latino students has lagged significantly behind whites and Asians. But recent studies show that Black and Latino graduation rates are up 4% in the past few years. And while there is still much work to be done, any sign of improvement is positive as our nation's schools struggle to keep up in a global environment. Right now, we'll chat with Deputy Secretary at the Department of Education, John King. John, welcome to News One Now. So exactly, why have graduation rates gone up? Has it been about closing dropout factories? Has it been about better metrics? What has been the reasoning for the increase?
Well, it's both of those things, actually. So we've set out a clear, common standard for measuring graduation rates, and that's helped focus the attention of the country. And then over the last 6 years, under the president's leadership, we've really focused on dropout factories, high schools that have had chronically low graduation rates.
So what is a standard to measure dropout rates? Because to me, it sounds pretty simple. If a kid's dropping out and mm-hmm. kid's not in school, mm-hmm. I mean, I... Mm-hmm.
For years, states were reporting it in different ways. Some states were counting students with disabilities, for example, in one way, counting students who dropped out but went into GED programs as still in high school. States had a variety of different ways to think about it, and so we didn't have a clear picture of the graduation rates. We made that change to have a common view, and now we see progress. We actually are at 81%, the highest the graduation rate in the country has ever been.
So when we talk about closing these dropout factories, and you know, what is required to close them, and how do you even target one?
So we have a school improvement grant program that is focused intensively on the dropout factories. It's put in additional resources, but also required districts to think differently about how the schools are organized, how teachers are supported, again, to try and make sure that we raise graduation rates and ensure quality of opportunity.
So if we're talking about targeting students, give me some best practices in terms of what cities are really doing a good job in terms of targeting students, getting them involved and focused and staying involved in education.
Sure, two really good examples. In New York City, one of the strategies was to look at failing high schools and to reorganize them as small schools where there'd be a lot more attention on the needs of individual students and often themes that would attract student interest. So a career in technical education theme or a theme focused on preparation for careers in criminal justice, a theme focused on project-based learning, and close relationships between teachers and students, where teachers would really, they'd know if a student was missing for a day, they'd call and make sure that they come to school. That kind of close attention helps students stay focused, stay in school. In Massachusetts, there was a focus on raising academic standards and saying all students in high school need to be prepared for college and career readiness. Massachusetts has made tremendous progress over the last decade, really, because they set high expectations.
What also about, I think this is critically important as well. Mary Wright Edelman really believes in this, the notion of freedom schools, partnering with those churches as well, providing sort of that standing in the gap, if we will, for education as well. And so how are nonprofits, how are external groups, the roles that they're playing when it comes to dropout rates?
Well, those partners are critical because when students start to get off track, it's often because they are missing school. So if folks are there to support them to make sure that they show up, that's the first step. Students often get off track in the summer, so summer jobs programs, summer enrichment opportunities are really important to keep students on track moving through high school. Those community-based organizations can also really serve as a safety net when students are struggling with issues at home, struggling with getting involved potentially in gangs. It's often community-based organizations, churches, that are the vehicle to prevent students from going in the wrong direction.
If we are identifying a kid who has the potential to drop out, so are there signs? What are we looking at? What are we looking for? And then how do we then intervene?
Yeah. Well, often it's students who are missing school, chronically absent. It's students who are not earning credits. And so if you are in ninth grade and you don't have the credits to move on to 10th grade, you are very high risk of dropping out. Often it's students who are disengaged. I was a high school teacher. One of the things that's important in high school is students have to be able to connect what they're doing in the classroom mm-hmm. with a potential future beyond high school. If students don't see that connection, often that's when they become disengaged and they feel like, well, why is school important for me?
What's the next phase for us? I mean, so we talk about 4%, and so have you set goals in terms of what decrease you want to see in the next year?
One of the key things is to see a closing of the achievement gap. So the African American
and define that. Yeah. We hear achievement gap. What does that even mean?
Yeah. So the African American graduation rate is about 71%. Latino students about 75%. White students about 87%. So that's the achievement gap there. So one of our goals is to see closing.
Again, when we say achievement, what does that mean?
Yeah, so you've got this gap now, 15 points or so, between the graduation rate for white students and African American students.
So we would define achievement gap. Are we talking graduation or are we talking reading scores, math scores? What define achievement?
Both. I mean, it's reading and math scores, it's graduation rates, it's the rate at which students are going on to college, the rate at which students are graduating from college. We see that large gap at all of those levels. What's promising about the last couple of years at the high school graduation rate level is that we're actually seeing a closing of the gap, which is encouraging. It's been a long time coming. The risk is, particularly with the current discussion in Congress around the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, the main federal education law. The risk is that some in Congress would like to take us backwards, reduce resources from the highest needs communities, reduce our focus on the lowest performing schools, and take us back to an earlier era.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we certainly appreciate it. I mean, education is a huge thing for me. I on this show as well, and I am certainly a also a big school choice advocate, giving our folks lots of different options, and so all is important. John, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
All right, folks. Later in the show, we're going to give you a sneak peek of Black-ish. Of course, we have our special taking place on Friday on the show. But coming up next, tech guru Stephanie Humphrey will be here to break down the pros and cons of Periscope versus Meerkat. Actually, this is a live tease right now. She's using Periscope right now. Switch to the other one, Meerkat. And so that's Meerkat right there. And so we'll be chatting with her, telling you what that means and how it could be important for your life. Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at News One or at Roland S. Martin, and go to our News One Facebook page. It is 28 before the top of the hour at News One Now on TV One.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland
Martin. All right, folks, y'all know that I love tech stuff all the time. And so whether it's iPhones or iPads or MacBook Pro, all of my cameras and everything, I just do gadgets, 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 gadgets. That's what I do. All right? So it happens. But there are a couple of new apps that have come out that has frankly gotten folks' attention and is blown up literally in the last 2 weeks. One is called Periscope. Another is called Meerkat. They are live streaming apps where literally at the click of a button, I'm just show you how easy this is. So, Shelly, come to my iPad, please. So let me show you this here, folks. And so I'm going to go over here to Periscope. This is Periscope right here, okay? This is the app. And what's going to happen is I'm going to click this right now, and then I'm just going to click Start Broadcast. And literally, right now, I'm just going to double click it so you can see me. So literally, right now, we are broadcasting live on Periscope, and you see the message goes out to all the folks who follow me on Twitter. And so all of these people literally right now are joining this live stream right now. So I'm going to leave this thing up while we're here. Stephanie Humphrey, she is a tech writer again, she's going to break it down for us. And so she's a tech writer for, can you please roll? Thank you very much, prompter. Thank you for waking up. Ebony.com. Glad that you're here, Stephanie.
Good to be here.
All right, then. So let's get to it. And again, all these folks right here.
And they're loving you.
Right. So explain this. Okay, so folks, explain. What are these hearts? What does that mean?
That means that whoever's watching is liking what they're seeing. It's okay. Kind of that visual little bit of encouragement.
So you have the like button that's on Facebook and,
right.
and Twitter.
This is a similar thing, but it just kind of, lets you know that whatever you're doing is something that people are loving watching and they're loving you right now.
All right, then. So we're doing that. So let's talk about Meerkat first.
Okay.
Because Meerkat came out at South by Southwest and it just went nuts.
Right. It was released on February 27th. They hit South by and everybody thought it was going to be the next big thing. And at the time when they still had full Twitter integration, it was. But then fast forward 2 weeks and here comes Periscope.
And that's because the folks at Twitter a year ago purchased Periscope.
Right.
And then when they saw the love Meerkat was getting, they then dropped Periscope.
They dropped Meerkat.
No.
Dropped it,
Twitter
yes.
dropped Periscope.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like $100 million. Before the app ever even got released in an app store,
they bought
Twitter
it
snapped
million.
It up for $100 million. That's why we need to learn to code.
All right, so let's talk about this here. Okay, mm-hmm. so right now we're going
right.
We're going live on Periscope. So what's the difference? Because I have both of them, and for me, I've used Livestream, I've used Ustream, I've used Google Hangout on
right.
Hangout on Air. I like Google Hangout on Air better because one, it goes through YouTube, it's open,
right.
no membership.
Right.
The moment you finish doing the video, it automatically saves, it's there forever.
Right.
So for me, if I'm streaming content, I'm not streaming BS.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if it for me, I want to be there because folks want to see it later.
And with Google Plus, you can actually have a conversation. With this, you're actually just pushing content.
Well, Hangout on Air, that's like I'm broadcasting a speech or whatever. It's going and goes Hangout on YouTube. But what I'm saying is I can save the video.
Right.
So with talk about Meerkat and Periscope, because my issue with Meerkat,
you can't save the video.
That's the problem
I
have.
You can save it to your camera roll if you want to keep it.
So I can save it to my camera, to my camera, which means I have to upload it
but
somewhere
Meerkat
else.
But Meerkat doesn't save it.
Right.
Periscope will save it for 24 hours. So if somebody missed it, they have 24 hours to go back and check it out on the Periscope app. Or you can also save it to your camera roll as well. So save it to your camera roll, upload it to YouTube, do whatever you want with it after that.
Okay, so let's say here, okay. So all right, Periscope folks, I gotta go. We're actually live on air, so I'm gonna switch this right now. And I'm gonna now go into Meerkat. And so if I wanna now stream on Meerkat, so what happens? I click stream.
Click.
And is it automatic? What does it do? Does it automatically send something to my Twitter followers?
Right. It'll send a notification to your Twitter followers that you're streaming now live on Meerkat. They actually have to get to your stream through Twitter and click the link. So that's the difference. Meerkat's a little more less user friendly.
How do I switch the camera around?
There's that little icon at the bottom of your. Okay. Yeah, I think it might got hung up. Yeah. Meerkat is definitely a little less user-friendly than Periscope, but they only worked on it for about 2 months. That's the thing. So considering they coded that in a matter of months, whereas the folks at Periscope had over a year to code their app.
So which one do you like for in terms of quality?
I love Periscope. The user interface.
Even though right now, though, if I look at the two, Shelley, go to Meerkat. Go to Meerkat. So Meerkat seems to have a better
getting a little bit better video quality on yours.
Y'all should have it now. You have it now? Okay. All right. We're gonna figure it out. Why all of a sudden we're not
telling
getting
you,
it?
Live TV,
we're not getting
technology.
It through. Okay. So
now but
see
that's
this?
The problem with Meerkat.
See,
it's a little buggy.
It's glitchy.
Yeah. It's a little buggy.
So see, it's part of the deal. So what's happened, folks, is I'm trying to show you Meerkat live. And I'm using the iPad. I'm using the iPad adapter, but for some reason, it's not letting me do it. But we were able to get on and show it quickly with Periscope.
Yeah, I think people are going to find Periscope a lot easier to use. The interface works a little bit like you expect it to, with some swiping gestures and different features like that. So, and again, they had more time to work on it. So, of course, it's going to be a little bit better.
Okay, I think we finally have Meerkat. So we have Meerkat now. So again, so what's interesting is this quality was actually better than Periscope was, but it all depends upon the connection.
It depends on your connection. It depends on what device you're using.
So people use it for different reasons. And again, people have gone so nuts when it comes to this video. I mean, folks are literally live streaming themselves climbing a tree.
Well, there's a trending hashtag, show your fridge. People want to see what's in your refrigerator. So if somebody comments and says, show your fridge, you have to show what's in your refrigerator. I don't think I want to show what's in mine. But it's one of those things where people just want an inside peek into your world. It's kind of that real time. This is what this person is doing right now, and I feel like I'm a part of it.
So I'm going to throw this. So what's the difference between Periscope, Meerkat, and Snapchat?
Snapchat is that kind of ephemeral, the video and the chats get deleted after a number of seconds and it's gone. It's really a messaging app, so that's really more for communication between two people. Meerkat and Periscope, again, you're just kind of that voyeur watching somebody's life as it unfolds.
And what's interesting is that when Twitter first came out, I mean, people were just posting crazy stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, from a news gathering process, that changed the game where it became an information source. I think Periscope,
we're going to see the same thing.
Meerkat would be the exact same thing.
Well, the explosion in New York a couple days ago, people were meerkatting and scoping that thing all across the board. So, and a lot of journalists now are saying, oh, this is the next big thing in journalism. But you got to take that with a grain of salt, you know, because you're going to have a lot of kind of citizen journalists on the ground at these events. And, you know, the news is going to be delivered the way it always gets delivered. But this will definitely help.
So if you had to pick which one is better, so you can keep talking.
I'm team Periscope all the way.
Team Periscope?
I'm team Periscope. Yeah, it's just easier to use. It's just way easier to use. And I'm streaming from both on my two devices right now. And again, it's just a nicer interface. You get a little more information on your Meerkat screen. You can actually see who's watching you. The comments pop up.
Yeah. So now, here's the other piece. There's going to be a certain point when people are. So you're connected on Periscope.
I'm on both, actually.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So folks, I'm going to show you this here. So Okay, they're going to go crazy because I'm about to dump out of my own deal. But let me show y'all. So what happens is, so you see this here, and I wanted this here. So people are commenting. Now, don't act a fool. Y'all don't say anything crazy because then it's going to be live on TV. Okay, I'm going to switch it right now because somebody then probably going to act a fool and cuss. So I'm going to go back to Periscope, and then if it comes up. And so what I want to show is, I wanted to show you Stephanie. Because what happens is you're on, and I'm gonna stop the broadcast.
So swipe down.
That's right, swipe down. Stop broadcast. There we go. And so get rid of this. Stephanie's live, and now you're showing me.
Yep.
Okay. So it's loading, and now
we should be up.
There you go. You don't see anything from me, y'all. It's black. Okay. I'm gonna reconnect, and hopefully that works. But again, the thing is really it allows for people to be able to stream live audio instantaneously at any given time.
And people can hear you. So when the comments come in, you know, somebody might say, hey, smile or give me a shout out or something like that. There is that audio there where they can actually hear what you're doing. They're watching what you're doing as it's happening. And it's just a good way to kind of stay connected with people.
Yeah. And again, for me, I use it. I used it when I preached Sunday at New Olivet Baptist Church in Memphis. Also, when I gave my speech to the Alphas, I also used it there as well. And so, again, it's a way for people to connect with folks.
And Periscope's definitely more popular right now, the number 46 in the App Store. Meerkat has fallen way down into the 500s.
So Meerkat launched and it went nuts.
And it went nuts. And somebody threw $14 million at Meerkat right before Periscope launched. And now hardly anybody's using it.
But that's also what happens when you're the company that controls the app and you can shut somebody
out.
So, Stephanie, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, folks, coming up next on News One Now, we have an entertainment roundup. Also, Machelle Kelly and Beyonce hit the stage for a little reunion at the Stellar Awards. We'll show you that as well. Plus, I talk a little football on the set of Black-ish with Miles Brown and Marseille Martin. All of that next on News One Now on TV One.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, that's me and Stephanie over here having a little fun. Sorry, Kathleen. Meerkat is not better. It's not. All right, birthday shout-out time, folks. Actor Tony Cox, he turns 57 years old. I'm resetting this thing over here. We're having way too much fun. And so we have folks on Twitter who are also playing with us. On this day in history, in 1960, Lorian Ruga Mbwa of Tanzania becomes the first, I was trying to work it out, becomes the first black Roman Catholic cardinal in modern times in 1988. Michael DeSille wins a Pulitzer Prize for feature photography. And unfortunately, Michael passed away a few months ago. The Washington Post, two-time winner of the Pulitzer Prize, and Dean Beckett wins a Pulitzer for team investigative reporting, plus Toni Morrison wins a Pulitzer for her novel, Beloved. All right, folks, Michelle Williams, Kelly Rowland, and Beyonce join forces Saturday at the Stellar Gospel Music Awards for the first live performance since the 2013 Super Bowl halftime show. Ashley Williams of Hip Hollywood was there. Check it out.
Beyonce, Michelle Williams, and Kelly Rowland joined forces on Saturday night for a special surprise Destiny's Child performance at the Stellar Gospel Music Awards in Las Vegas. The group, who looked angelic in white blazers and distressed jeans, performed a plethora of songs, including Say Yes, an upbeat gospel track from Michelle's fourth single album, Journey to Freedom. Williams kicked off the performance at the Orleans Arena before Beyonce and Rowland joined her. This marks the group's first live appearance since the 2013 Super Bowl halftime show. And to add a cherry on top of the night, Williams won her first Stellar Award for Video Music of the Year for Say Yes. It was also a big night for Erica Campbell, who took home a whopping 4 awards, including Artist of the Year and CD of the Year for Help. The Stellar Awards are set to air April 5th on TV One. For Hip Hollywood and TV One, I'm Ashley Williams.
All right, folks, let's see who hit it big at the box office this weekend. A family fun animated comedy, Home, starring Rihanna and Jennifer Lopez, led the box office with $54 million. Here's a clip.
Gotcha.
What for are you? Did this?
I am Boov.
I know what you are.
Yeah, can I come into the out now?
No, you cannot come into the out now.
But I can. You are just having to take away the piece of wood. I will shoot forth the lasers from my eyeballs.
You can do that?
Yes.
Prison comedy Get Hard was a close second with almost $35 million, starring Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell. Here you go.
What's your mad dog face look like?
I'm sorry, what's a mad dog?
Your mad dog! Like a pit bull with no leash. That's a mad dog.
Wow, I knew you were the right guy for the job.
Let me see it.
Okay.
That's terrible.
No, terrible was having Will Ferrell with his shirt unbuttoned. I mean, freeze it. Shelly, go back to this video. Lord, seriously? My Lord, man, dog, seriously? Just button up, Will, button up. All right, folks, going to a break right now. Steph and I are going to have a little bit more fun on Periscope. So, what's up? We'll see y'all. Going to a break. This is News One Now on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Yesterday, Comedy Central announced its choice for the new Daily Show host. 31-year-old South African comedian Trevor Noah is set to take over where Jon Stewart leaves off later this year.
Welcome back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great night for us. We're always excited on the show to find new talented voices that can contribute to our program. So we are very pleased to welcome our newest contributor from South Africa, Mr. Trevor Noah. Trevor, thanks for joining us.
Nice to see you. Welcome, sir.
Stewart is quoted as saying, "I'm thrilled for the show and for Trevor. He's a tremendous comic and talent that we've loved working with. In fact, I may rejoin as a correspondent just to be a part of it." Noah tweeted, "No one can replace Jon Stewart, but together with the amazing team of The Daily Show, we will continue to make this the best damn news show." And of course, what's interesting is, guess what? Comedy Central has two black guys who are actually anchoring, Trevor Noah and Larry Wilmore. That's more than any cable news network. Who would have thunk it?
Whoa.
How to find black talent. Wow, so hard to find them. All right. Had a blast on the set of the show Blackish with Miles Brown and Marseille Martin. Great last name. Until Miles professed his love for the Dallas Cowboys and had to smack him. Here's a sneak peek of his football blooper from our Blackish special and Friday.
She's a native Texan. She was born in Dallas.
I know.
Right. You like the Cowboys? Say no.
No.
Good.
I love
Wait.
The Broncos.
Okay.
I am actually a Cowboys fan because they have the training camp.
Okay,
where
I hate the Cowboys.
But I have the rides.
I can't stand the Cowboys. Yeah. No more. You get to keep talking.
Okay.
I really hate the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't like the Cowboys. I've never liked the Cowboys.
Yeah. What's your favorite football team?
Fan, okay?
Thank you. There you go. Okay, we went to Cowboys.
No. What's your favorite football team?
Houston Texans. I'm from Houston.
Oh yeah.
There
yeah,
you go.
Right.
Miles.
Thank you.
Okay. It's been fun. All right, pass me the camera, Miles. Pass me the camera.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Enjoy the show.
Okay, bye.
So cute.
See, that's one of my tech gadgets. That's the Replay XD Prime X. So y'all know I had to shut down any Cowboys fans. Henry, you hear that? You hear that? Fudgy, Petey, you hear that? All right, the News One Blackish special airs this Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern right here on TV One. Tomorrow on News One Now, Henry, I met one of his friends, and she said, his nick, call him Fudgy. I said, I'm going to kill him with that one. Henry Peterson, nicknamed Fudgy. All right, folks, tomorrow, Wild Night Wednesday, our comedians are going to be here. check it out. Hey, be sure to go to news1.com for more stories and updates. And also, you can now listen to the live audio stream of News One Now at news1.com if you can't watch the show. So if you're on the road, you don't get TV One, you can listen to the live stream. Hey, here's the deal. Stephanie's going to join me on my radio show. I just told her that. So any questions you have about tech stuff, you can do that. So hit me up at 888-669-2281, like right now. We're going to be on at 10 o'clock. So for the next hour, we'll talk tech stuff and gadgets, and we'll have a great conversation. Don't forget also with Periscope, the app is free for iPhone right now, but not Android.
There are no Android apps yet for either.
Right. So, yeah. So
but they're both free for iPhone.
And so they're coming in the spring, something like that?
Yeah, they're on their way.
Yeah, that's so what happens if y'all got one of them Android phones, Noni. That's right. Learn how to get an iPhone, then you can join the rest of us. Thank you very much. So, all the folks online, we appreciate it. On Periscope, we got to go. It's time for us to go pay some bills. We'll see y'all later right here on News One Now on TV One. I'll see you tomorrow. Hit me up on Twitter at Roland S. Martin. We got to go.
We out.
Holla!
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.